You read a scripture 1,000 times and get something different out of it every time. How many of us know that scriptures that we can quote, some of the most basic scriptures, and all depending on the season that God has you in, that you will see something different. It will have a different flavor. Y'all got to catch this. It will have a different flavor based on the season. All right? So I'm going to go to a very familiar passage, but I don't want us to look at it from a morbid, depressed point of view. I want us to look at it from an encouragement point of view. Amen? All right? So I don't want you to get depressed as we read this, because it's a very familiar passage. Turn with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We all have probably read this a million times, Job chapter 1. But the word of God cannot be exhausted. Amen? We can, but it can't. When you have Job chapter 1, it's in the middle of the Bible, right before Psalms. Job chapter 1. When you have Job chapter 1, say amen. Amen. How many of us know I got to have the word of God? I can't listen to a sermon and never crack open the Bible, because that's suspect. Amen. I got to be able to see something in the word of God. Because something about the written word of God that sticks to you like grit stick to your ribs. Amen? So we need something to stick to our ribs to hold us in those lean times. Amen? When nothing's going right, you need to have something in your spiritual stomach to hold on to your ribs. Amen? Amen. You know, last week, we had a blessed time last week, didn't we? Amen. Last week, we came from the title, Why Am I Under Attack? Y'all remember that last week? Why Am I Under Attack? Well, today, this sermon is entitled, The Benefits of Fearing God. The Benefits of Fearing God. I got news for us Christians. Be prepared to see a lot of your brothers and sisters walking from God. Be prepared. Don't be marveled at that. Don't let that take you by surprise. Because when you drift from God, you lose fear. They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. The further away you distance yourself from God's people and God's presence, you will become inundated, or your fear will be flooded out. And you'll start speaking different languages from the standpoint of, you'll start talking reckless. You'll act as if God couldn't just strike you down with a thought. You'll start thinking that God owes you something. Because, see, the fear of God, if I can use this, it's like investing money into a stock. The more fear of God that you have is going to have a high return. See, today we're not going to focus on everything Job went through. We're going to read it, but we're not going to focus on that. You know, we know he lost his children, he got sick. We know that. But we're going to focus on what did God say about him. And God told Satan he fears God. That is the only thing we're going to focus on in this sermon today, is the fear of God. Let me tell you something. The fear of God, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there are 3 points I want to pull out what the fear of God does for the believer when they fear God. Do you have something to write with? Okay, let's start at chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 5 verses, and then we're going to go to our first point. Are you ready for the word this morning? It says, there was a man in the land of Uz, and Uz is not too far from the Jordan River, whose name was Job. And that man, let the church say that man. Okay, that man was blameless, upright, and what? Oh, there's that word. The first verse of this book, it highlights the character traits of that man. Okay, now whenever you see the word that, it has the idea of separation. I can say, hey, that chair has a stain in it. So don't sit in that chair. Because what I'm saying, when I use the word that, I am isolating the object of what I'm talking about. So God comes out of the gate saying, that man. This tells me that every man is not going to have these characteristics. But God said for this man, are y'all with me? He said this man, he was blameless, he was upright, and fearing God, and what? Turning away from evil. Seven sons and three daughters were born to him. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, very many servants. He had a lot of employees. And that, there's this again. And that man, let the church say that man. That man was the greatest of all men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one in his day. Now, this guy was so blessed, all his children had their own place. All his sons had their own house. All right? And they would celebrate. They had it so well that celebration was like brushing your teeth. We're going to have a party today. We're going to celebrate today because we just got it like that. All right? But catch this. This is beautiful. And they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job, let the church say Job. Job would send and what? Consecrate them. So now you got another word. First you had that, now you have them. That man would consecrate them. All right? Now he's talking about his children. He says, rising up late. See, it's something about getting up early in the morning. You see this all through the Old Testament. The patriarchs would get up early in the morning. It says, early in the morning, starting this day out, it says he would rise up early in the what? Offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Basically, he had 10 children. Now, talk about a prayer life. He just didn't have an over-encompassing prayer. Lord, bless all my children. No, this guy, that man, prayed for each individual child. Now, why would he have to pray for each individual child? If you have more than one child, you know that every child's makeup is different. Some children needed the belt a little bit more than the other. Can I get an amen? Some children, you could look at them, they'll get themselves together. And some of them could, Lord have mercy, you'd be close to going away. Because they just needed a little bit more love. Tough love. Because of their makeup. Every child is different. So Job said, even spiritually, every child is different. Just because everybody grows up in the church doesn't mean that everybody's going to walk with the Lord the same way. Some of them are going to be prodigal. Some of them will leave the church and have to get hit across the head a few times to come back to church. That's a part of the process. Are you with me? He said he prayed for each and every one of them. Catch this. For Job said, perhaps my sons have what? Okay, they ain't just sin. And what? In their hearts. Now, heart, the interpretation of heart is not talking about the red muscle in your chest. The heart is your mind. Now, your mind is connected to your soul. The soul houses the will, the emotion, and the mind. It's not talking about the spirit. It's talking about the soul of a man. See, many people can have broken souls and still be children of God, but your soul is broken. And your soul is attacked based on the activities or events or trauma that may have happened in your life can cause a lot of damage to your soul. But Jesus Christ is a soul and mind regulator. See, he can regulate, he can calibrate your broken soul. See, you may have done some things in your past. You may have been involved in some things in your past. So when you come to the house of God, you come with a broken or damaged or contaminated soul. Now your spirit is safe because Jesus said in John chapter 10, 31 through 33, no man can take you out of my hand and no man can take you out of my Father's hand who's above all. I am my Father one. But just because you can't be taken out of the Father's hand doesn't mean you can't have a damaged soul. And many of us come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and our souls are still damaged. So Job is saying, look, I'm not going to say my kids are all that in a bag of chips. I'm going to pray for them every day just in case they sin and they curse God in their hearts. That's powerful. That's powerful. My first point is the fear of God causes us to remain in close communication with God. When you fear God, you will always communicate with God. When you go 2 and 3 days and you haven't prayed, your spirit will not be right. When you fear God now. When you fear God, you will only go so far before you hit yourself and say, you know what, I need to get myself together. When you fear God. And see, this is why Satan wants to dumb down our fear of God and make us treat God like he's a partner, like he's on the same level as we are. He wants to trick us, even through certain false theologies, that we can just shake our hand at God, God, come do this right now. No, when you fear God, you don't talk to God like that. And many saints are being bamboozled into thinking that they can talk to God like they're talking to their homeboy or homegirl. Jesus is not your homeboy. Jesus is God. And when you come to God, why is it that Moses had to take his shoes off to talk to God? But we keep our shoes on and talk to God any kind of way. Why is it that we can look up into the heavens and complain to God about what he's not doing for us and why he's taking so long, but yet Moses couldn't even look at God? God said, hide between the clefts of the rock and I will walk past you. And you can't look at me because no man can look at God and live. But you can. I'm going to walk past you and you will see my Shekinah glory. My Shekinah glory is more than enough for you to know that I'm God, the very God. That's more than enough to know that I am is with you. But why do we, in this day and time, feel that we can talk to God any kind of way? I tell you why. Because we have not studied that you are to fear God. Job feared God. And when you fear God, it will cause you to remain in close communication with God. Now, in James chapter 4, verse 8, you don't have to turn there. I will turn there and read this, but I want this to stick into our psyches. James 4, 8 reads, well, let me go up to verse 6. It says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, I didn't even intend to preach on this piece, but I got to talk about this for a quick second. Is that all right? James is saying, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, resisting the devil is not optional. That's a part of the process. That's a part of life. You can't say I'm a Christian and the devil don't come after you. As a matter of fact, because you're a Christian, he is assigned to you. His demons are assigned to you. The demon of drugs, the demon of sex, the demon of temptation, the demon of suicide, the demon of depression. These are all demonic spirits that are assigned to you. Now, God is not going to remove the demons because you say you love Jesus. He said you got to resist them. You can't resist something that's not trying to fight you. In order to resist something, that means you got to be close to it. That means you got to wrestle with it. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. But it does not negate the truth that you still got to fight it. Right now, as y'all listening to me, y'all are tussling with something in your mind. But it's okay, because the Bible says you got to resist it. I ain't going to remove it. You just got to resist it. I ain't going to stop it. You just got to resist it. Do you not have cookouts in the summer because mosquitoes come out? Understand, if you have a cookout in the summertime, mosquitoes show up by default. And the nature of a mosquito is to suck your blood. Flies are going to show up. They're going to get on your hamburger. They're going to get on your hot dog. And no matter how much you wave, and you know, they're going to land on your food. That's a part of the process. That's a part of life. But you just don't sit there and allow flies to just gather up on your food. You have a job to do. And that job is you have to resist them. You have to swing at them. You have to get some off spray and spray on yourself. Because God is not going to remove temptation just because you've been removed from the kingdom of darkness. He's not going to remove it because that's the way of the world. We are in the world. Just not of it. But we're still in it. And because we're in it, we're subject to the same situations that an unbeliever goes through. The same stuff that attacks an unsaved family will attack your family. There's no difference because you're in this environment. But just because you're in this environment, you have some off spray. And that off spray is called the Word of God. That off spray is called the fellowship with the saints. That off spray is accountability to my brothers. That off spray is me walking in the light and not in darkness. That off spray is me taking the mind of Christ. That off spray is me looking at things above and not focusing on things of this earth. That off spray will insulate me because I cannot be isolated from the things that hit everybody else. He says, submit, therefore, to God. I can't submit to you if I don't fear you. I must fear you before I submit to you. And the reason why people are not submitting to God is because they don't fear him. He says, draw near to God, and he will what? That's all I wanted to pull from James. See, we have to understand that Jesus Christ is our power source. All of the Holy Ghost power is going to come from Jesus Christ. But the further you drift from Jesus, the less Holy Ghost power you will have. Now, notice what Paul said in Romans. He said, when I want to do good, evil is ever present. It didn't say evil shows up. It didn't say evil chases me down. It says evil is right in my face. So you know what this tells me? That God is not concerned about the evil. He's concerned about you doing good. He's not concerned about the temptation. He's concerned about you fearing him. Because all you need is a little fear. And the fear will keep you from saying yes to what God says you should say no to. It is the fear And this goes into my second point. You ready for the second point? The fear of God preserves us when we are tempted by evil. Oh, my goodness. See, the fear of God is beautiful when you really look at it from the right perspective. The fear of God is a benefit to the believer. It is a, oh, my gosh, the fear, oh, it's so good. When you look at it from the right perspective, the fear of God compels me. See, the fear of God will make you witness to somebody. The fear of God will give you the strength to say no to temptation. The fear of God, y'all just know the fear of God will protect you, amen? Y'all can fill in the blanks, but it will protect you. Let's look at, go back to Job, because we're going to stay in Job. And let's look at, we're in Job chapter 1. Let's go to verse 12. Is the word good to you, saints? Is it making sense? Okay. Verse 6 says, for there was a day, let the church say a day, when the sons of God, now sons of God is lowercase here. This is not talking about the Son of God. Son of God is capitalized. That's Jesus Christ. But the sons of God is talking about angelic beings. It's not talking about humans. It's talking about angelic beings. Okay? The sons of God, these are angelic spirits, came to present themselves before the Lord. And who? And who? Okay, now. And Satan came among them. Can I extract some truth out of this? If Satan can come amongst angels, why do we get so confused that a wolf can't come amongst the saints? You think everybody in the house of God is for God? This is heaven. Satan still has access to heaven. Revelation says that he accuses the brethren day and night. Satan talks to God a lot, in case you didn't know. They talk all the time, according to the scriptures. But you got to search the scriptures to see if what I'm saying is so. Amen? He says, he came among them. Catch this. The Lord said to Satan. Now, you got to understand, saints, that Job has no idea that this conversation is going on. And I want to warn us, we have no idea of what God is saying about us. But he's talking about you, whether you know it or not. And me too. But what is he saying about us? The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? Now, we know God is omniscient, so he already knows what Satan is doing. But he wanted Satan to answer for himself. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth. Newsflash, Satan is not in hell. Not yet. His territory is here. I want us to get that straight. That red devil with horns with a pitchfork and a tail that's commercialized, and you see all the flames surrounding him and he's laughing. That's not the Satan of the Bible. The Bible says he's very beautiful, very deceptive. The Bible calls him a serpent. We got to hang with the word, don't we? He says, roaming about the earth. Where do we live, saints? Okay. And walking around on it. Notice it didn't say he's floating in the air. Because Satan can shapeshift, in case you didn't know. He's walking. Have you considered my servant, Job? For there is, this is God talking now. This is not Job bragging about himself. This is not a pastor talking about him. This is God Almighty Yahweh saying this about him. For there is what? No one like him on earth. A blameless and upright man. What does the next part say? The benefits of fearing God. He fears God and turns away from evil. Now, why is turning away from evil connected hip to hip to fearing God? Because the antidote to you not sinning is fearing God. The antithesis, the polar opposite of doing the wrong thing is fearing God, not doing good. Oh, y'all got to catch that. No. See, I do all this good. I give to the poor. Yeah, but you still may, evil still may overtake you. But if you don't want evil to overtake you, you have to up your fearing God game. I got to up my game when it comes to fearing God. And that's pretty much guarantees me from submitting to temptation and evil. And when I do submit to temptation and evil, I have to be honest with myself and say, you know what? I didn't fear God. I didn't fear God. That's why I did X, Y, and Z, because the fear of God wasn't in me at that moment. Amen? Amen. When a baby can understand the word of God, I know I'm in the right realm. And that's how the Bible. Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Huh? God is good. God has a way of confirming through the mouths of babes. Are y'all not walking with me? It says, for there's no one like him on earth, a blameless, upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does God fear you for nothing? Does Job fear you for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him or around him and his house? He's talking about his family. And all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right? Now we'll get to our second point. The fear of God preserves us. What does the word preserve mean? Keeps. The fear of God will keep you. If you don't get anything out of this sermon, get that. When I fear the Lord, it will keep me. Okay, what do you mean? It will keep me from making bad choices. It will keep me from destroying my family, destroying my marriage, destroying my children, destroying my mindset, destroying the faith, destroying my testimony. See all these benefits of keeping? The fear of God will keep me on the right path. It will keep me from connecting with the wrong people. It will keep me from attaching myself to the wrong friends and colleagues and associates. It will keep me going towards my destiny. It will keep me focused. It will keep, I can go on and on, but the fear of God will keep you. It will keep me hungry for the word of God. Is anybody with me? 12 through 19. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Oh, boy. Let the church say now. Verse 13. Now on the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them, and the Sabians attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was what? Still speaking. Talking about a bad day. Another came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And what does verse 17 say? while he still was talking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still talking, another came and said, now this is the heavy one here. Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking when their elders brother's house. And behold, a great wind, talking about a tornado or hurricane type storm, came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Let's stop right there and let that digest. Imagine being on your cell phone. And everything is going well for you. You love the Lord. You fear God. Just finished having Bible study. And you are encouraging somebody on the phone. And you say, hold on. I got a call coming in. You click over. And you get bad news. And then while you're talking to that person, you're like, hold on. My phone's ringing again. Let me click over. And you get a different type of bad news. And then the phone clicks again. Now, they didn't have phones back in this time. But that's how I'm trying to get us to understand how serious this was. He didn't get hit day after day after day, week after week. This all happened in one day. But because the fear of God, oh my gosh, because Job walked with God, and because Job was storing up the fear of God, I told you, the more you fear God, the investment that comes back is so great of return. So because Job has always feared God, it preserved him. It kept him from killing himself. It kept him from having suicidal ideations. It kept him from cussing God out. It kept him from going off and snapping. It kept him. See, you can't wait. You can't be kept until you first keep. When you keep God's commandments, you'll be kept when stuff hits you from every corner of the world. You got to keep the fear of God so you can be kept. See, all of us want to be kept without keeping. We can't do any and everything we want to do, and then when all hell breaks loose in our lives, now we want all of heaven to save us. You got to get to heaven now so when hell shows up, you'll have heaven to keep you and preserve you through the hell that you have to go through. Y'all not walking with me? Keep living. Is anybody with me? We got to talk about this fear. The fear of God is nothing to be trifled with. You're saving your own neck when you fear God. You are storing up strength that you need for tomorrow when you fear God today. Is anyone with me? Now, hold your finger. No. Okay. Y'all got the second point, right? What was my first point? And second point? Tempted by evil. Amen. Have you ever been tempted by evil? Are you being tempted by evil right now? Evil is ever present. But this is the good part. Y'all ready for the good part? Third point, last point. The fear of God enables us to operate from a divine perspective and not a human perspective. All right? A divine perspective and not a human perspective. Can I teach this for a second? Many theologies now, name it and claim it. If you got enough faith, anything you say is always yes with God. That is a humanistic perspective. Because when you have that type of theology that's based on humanistic, I just tell God and he gives me what I want because I'm giving him faith, that means God owes me. See, that means you have wiped out or nullified the sovereignty of God. I can no longer say God is sovereign if he's supposed to give me everything I want. or give me everything I pray for. See, sovereign means he's self-counseled. He's self-ruled. And it means that if he wants to say no, he's going to say no. If he wants to say yes, he's going to say yes. If he wants to say wait, not right now, he'll say wait, not right now. And that's totally his prerogative. There's nothing you can do that can make God change his mind faster than he wants to change it. You can flip a few desks. You could jump over a few pews, jump out one of these windows, speak in gibberish, whatever you want to do, that's not going to make God move any faster. Is anybody with me? Bible says, wait on the Lord. They who wait on the Lord shall renew their what? Because you need strength to wait on the Lord. Is anybody with me? Let's talk about the difference between divine perspective and human perspective. You see, raise your hand if you own a car or a truck. Okay? You can put your hands down. There are two types, there are three types of cars you can get today. There's a gasoline-powered engine car, and at best, if you have a four-cylinder engine, you may get 32 to 33 miles per gallon. And then you have electric cars. Electric cars, they're very expensive. Some are not that expensive, but they don't run off of gas. They run off of an electric motor that's powered by a lithium-ion battery. And you can get up to 100 miles per charge. But then you have hybrid cars. A hybrid has a gas engine and it has an electric motor. So a hybrid car, oh, y'all got to walk with me. A hybrid car can, if it chooses to rely on its gas motor, it will only at best get 25 to 30 miles a gallon. But in the same car is a switch. And when the driver decides to switch to the electric motor, he can get 100 to 300 miles before he has to charge his battery. See, we are like a hybrid vehicle. When you lean to your own understanding, you are dependent on yourself to get you through the journey of life. But you have the Paracletos. You have an electric motor, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in you. And when you yield to him, you can go a lot further in the journey of life than you would if you leaned on your own understanding. See, Job had to realize that what he was being hit with, he could not approach it from a human perspective. Because a human perspective would say, I serve you, I'm blameless, I always run from evil. Lord, why did this happen to me? But he had to look at it from a divine perspective. And a divine perspective is very difficult to stay in, if we were to be honest. Because a divine perspective means that you say, Lord, whatever you do, whether I like it or not, I got to say yes, Lord. And many people are preaching to your human perspective and not preaching to the divine perspective. They are preaching that if you have enough faith, you can get what you want. But they're not preaching that God oftentimes will say no, deal with the issue. See, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and Paul came to God at first from a human perspective that we all do. Lord, take this away from me, because all of us want relief. But God said, I'm not going to take that thorn out of your flesh. My grace is sufficient for you. And when you're weak, I will be strong. So Paul, when he realized that God said no, Paul said, I can no longer operate from a human perspective. Now I have to agree with God. And even though I have this thorn in my flesh till I go to the grave, for God I live and for God I die. But many of us don't even know that we have two different perspectives we can lean on. Let's see Job, his response to all this chaos. Look at verse 20. Is it making sense, saints? Verse 20 through 22, it says, then Job, let the church say, then Job, arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and worshiped. Okay, I don't think y'all heard that. Let that sit in for a second. All your employees get killed. All of your possessions get ruthlessly and violently snatched out of your hand. And your babies, all 10 of them, die. And you did what? You did what? You fell down and worshiped? You worshiped before you cried. Y'all not. See, when the Holy Spirit is really taking over you, you will do some things that's otherworldly, if that makes sense. You're not of this world. That's not of this world to have that type of response. That's from another place. Because the natural response is to just go crazy and off. He said he stood up, tore his robe, that's a sign of grief, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. Let me give us some a game play. When evil comes to your face, fall on the ground and start worshiping God. You got to do it quick, because it's a small window of time before you switch over to the human perspective. You don't have a lot of time. You may have 7 seconds. I'm using 7 because that's the God's number. You got 7 seconds to praise God or cuss this person out. You got 7 seconds. You got 7 seconds to. You don't got a lot of time. Don't play with it. Can I get an amen? Amen? Don't play with it. If drugs was your thing, and somebody from your past said, look, man, you had a rough day. Let me get something to get you light off your feet. I got that stuff that we used to do together. I got it in the bag. Nobody will know. You had a hard day, you got 7 seconds. You better fall down and start worshiping God. Y'all don't want to get real, do you? It's a phone, isn't it? You may get a phone call from an old friend, and you married now. How did they get my number? I got the number from your cousin Junebug. I saw him in Aldi's. I'm going to leave Junebug alone. From your cousin Raymond. And Raymond told me you were doing all right. And you just had an argument with your spouse. Y'all don't want me to talk in here. And you're looking for just some attention. You don't want nothing else. You just want somebody to say they appreciate you. And your phone ring. And you at work, not even at home. So you can stay on the phone as long as you want. You on a job. Can I talk in here? Am I at home? You got 7 seconds. They say, I'm happily married. Love my spouse. And I love Jesus more than I love my spouse. Click. Please lose my number. In the name of Jesus. I got to be real. I got to be real. I got to be real. And it don't matter how old you are. I ain't just talking to 40 and under. You can be 70. An old friend from the neighborhood like he 50. Stay in the gym. You got 7 seconds. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. The Bible says evil. What is evil? Evil is not just murder. That's not just what evil is. Evil can come to you so sweet and so seductive. That's still evil. And you got to look at it the way God looks at it and say, you are evil. No matter how nice and sweet you are pure evil. And I got 7 seconds. Say, Lord, forgive me. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, give me some power. That's for men and women. Y'all just think it's... And now the women want to clap now. Us men folk don't always act right. And I will speak for the men. Sometimes we will set y'all up to step out. Can I say it? It's not always the women pushing the man out because he's a man. No, sometimes a man can be so ignorant acting, stubborn, that I'm tired of being a helpmeet. I'm tired of being the virtuous woman. You haven't told me I was beautiful in 6 months. Y'all don't want to. Let's get back to cream puff sermon. Some of us were alcoholics before we came to Christ. Sometimes you don't always drive past the ABC store with a smile on your face. Sometimes you might have a little twitch because you're a little thirsty today. And you want you a little taste. I want to get high. Smoke a little something. Snort a little something. Can we be honest? Because that's what sin is. But when you fear God, the fear of God will compel you to say, I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, I am new. My DNA is different. My diet is different. I don't eat the same thing. I don't smoke. I don't drink the same thing. I don't even talk to the same type of people anymore because my diet has changed. And you are what you... Y'all not walking with me. Y'all making me feel a little nervous up here. Look at Job's response. And this is ammunition for us. He says, he arose and tore his clothes and fell to the ground in worship. He said, naked, I came from my mother's womb, and naked, I shall return. Talking about a divine perspective. It is the grace of God that from your birth date to your death date, it is God who blesses you. It is God who gives you promotion. It is God who gave you children. It is God who gave you a job. It is God who gives you a right mind. It is God to help you get off of drugs. It is God who gives you strength. It is God who gives you the power to say no. It is God. It is God. It is God. And when you understand that, it is also God's prerogative not to let things be as happy all the time. He give and he taketh away. It is God who gave you your parents. But God may take your parents. You still got to worship and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Are y'all with me? Is it making any sense? He said, the Lord gave and the Lord has what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. My God. How can you say blessed after all that stuff happened? But this is the point This is the benefit of fearing God. Look at verse 22. Through all this, Job did not what? Nor did he. Let me tell us something. Once you start blaming God for stuff, you're drifting from God. That is the clearest test. That is a telltale sign that you're drifting from God when you start blaming God for stuff. And let me tell you, you can get hit with some stuff that's so heavy in your life, you will do it. Nobody in here is superhuman. You get hit with the right thing, your family get hit with the right thing, you will have the tendency to start to blame God. And you'll start saying, you know what, what's the use of me going to church anymore? Because God ain't going to do nothing. And you're blaming God. Have you ever been there? All right, now let's look at chapter 2, and we're about to come on off. I want us to look at chapter 2, and we'll look at one more verse after that, and then we'll be done. Is it making sense to you, saints? All right, so we see that Job passed that first test, okay? But look at verse 2. We'll look at, start at verse 1. It says, again, there was a day, let the church say a day, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, there he go again, and Satan also came among them to present themselves before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about the where? Earth. Where are we located? Okay. And walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man. What? Fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still, let the church say still. Oh my God. See, still should be your middle name. No matter what I go through, I'm still going to trust Jesus. No matter what hits me, I'm still going to serve the Lord. No matter how things go, I'm still going to believe that God can do the impossible. See, you got to be a still Christian. You got to stand still, but you have to still be here when you can't stand no more. Y'all not catching this. You got to become a still Christian. See, God told Moses and the children at the Red Sea, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The salvation of the Lord, or i.e. the deliverance of God in our lives, cannot occur until we first stop moving so much and stand still. He said he still holds fast to his what? Integrity has the idea of his character. Although you incited me against him to ruin him without a cause. I love this scripture because sometimes there is no rhyme or reason as to why you're being attacked. It's right here. God himself said it out of his own mouth. Satan, you wanted me to attack Job without cause. What you might be going through right now may not be because of sin. It may not. It may not be because you made a bad choice. It could just might as well be it's without a reason. It's without a cause. Are y'all with me? And then he says, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his what? His bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. Now, I said this before when I was preaching, touching on this before. Notice he says, his bone and his flesh. Now, this has two meanings. When a man marries a woman, God told Adam, Adam stated when God brought Eve to him, he said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now we know that Job's body and bones were touched by physical illness, but we'll see the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh also be touched mentally. Okay, so let's look at this. Are y'all with me? Did that make any sense? Let's keep moving. He says, look at this. Satan answered skin for skin. However, put forth your hand now and touch the bone of his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. Then Satan, let the church say, then Satan. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd and scraped himself. He was itching and in a lot of pain, all right? Very uncomfortable, while he was sitting amongst the ashes. Okay, so Job doesn't even have time to grieve his 10 children because now his body has been struck with the illness. Okay, then his wife, let the church say his wife. Okay, now don't be so hard on her now. Don't be so hard on her, but we got to touch on this. Then his wife, now his wife is his bone of his bone and the flesh of his what? Okay, all right. So then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? This wasn't his wife talking. Couldn't have been. That wasn't his wife talking. That was satanic influence that touched on her emotions. You got to understand, this lady is grieving 10 children. So she's not all the way right now. She needs time to grieve and time to repair. Okay? But now your husband, who's the strong man, has been bound by illness and sickness. So he's not even strong enough to comfort and console you because he can't even console himself. So now the lady is left on her own to fight her grief of her 10 children and also fight the spiritual war of satanic attack. So now she sees Job still worshiping God, still praising God, even though he's scratching himself on the face and scratching himself on the back. And he can't even sleep because he has large sores on his back and sores all over his stomach and over his mouth. And he's just in a lot of pain and agony. But listen to what she says to him. Do you hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die. This is what his wife told him. Curse God and die. This is how I know this was the devil through her, because what did the devil say to God? He'll curse you to your face. Now, why does the wife use the exact same language that Satan used to God? Because this is from the same source. This is demonic oppression in which he's influencing her through her pain. Let me tell her something. When you go through pain, you're at a very weak moment. And you'll start hearing a lot of different voices trying to tell you how to live your life. All right? So Satan is taking advantage of her weak time, and she's saying, curse God and die. But listen, look at Job. Job is still in the divine perspective. He says, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we, now this is heavy, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? God is good. He's good all the time. Okay, what about when the all the time God doesn't allow good to come in your life? Is he still good? See, Job said, should we always look from the good from God and not also accept the rain from God? We always want the sunshine from God, but then when the storms and rain come from God, we say that's not of God. But God is the God of all things. So there's nothing that he does not control, even the bad times. Amen? All right. So he says, you speak like a foolish woman. Now, he did not call her a foolish woman. See, people preach that wrong. She was not a foolish woman. She was speaking like a foolish woman. He was not disrespecting her. He was trying to basically wake her up and snap her out of this. Say, hold on now, baby, you're drifting. Listen to what you just said. You know we don't say that type of stuff in this house. We serve God. We fear God here. And it's because of God we had 10 children. It's because of God I had 5,000 sheep. It's because of God I'm a CEO of a company. It's because of God that you don't have to work. It's because of God that all your kids have their own houses. It's because of God. Come on now, don't forget what God has done for us. And now when things not going our way, you acting brand new as if he didn't do nothing for us. You sound like a foolish woman. He didn't call her a fool. He said, you sound like one. And all of us can sound like fools, but it doesn't make us fools. Amen? Now when Job's three friends heard, this is the last part I wanted to touch on. In all of this, Job did not what? With his lips. Now, I would stop right here, but some of you may still be saying, man, that was a depressing sermon. You know, he lost everything, and I know I'm supposed to fear God, but, you know, what's the use of me fearing God? I mean, what are the benefits? What are the ultimate benefits of fearing God? And, you know, can God turn things around? Well, turn with me to chapter 42 of Job. Turn with me to chapter 42 of Job, because I don't want to leave you comfortless. I don't want you walking out today thinking that, oh, man, I better expect to have gloom and doom, and I just got to fear God and deal with it. No, there's benefits to fearing God. And I'm going to show you the ultimate chief benefit right here. All right? You're not going through what you're going through for nothing. But if you maintain your integrity through your storm, you will be rewarded according to God's timing. And I want to show you from the scriptures how God rewarded Job, even though he didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. All right? Look at verse 42, verse 10. Will you have it? Say amen. The Lord restored. Let the church say restored. He restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord, let the church say the Lord. Increased. Let the church say increased. Some. All that Job had twofold. He gave him double for his trouble. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him. And they ate bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him. He was still grieving. For all the what? That who? Notice it didn't say Satan. It said all that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him one piece of money and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days. Let the church say latter days. He blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Does that sound familiar? He named the first one Jemima, the second one Kaziah, the third Keren Hapuk. And all the land, no woman were found so beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father gave them an inheritance among the brothers. After this, let the church say after this. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons, his grandsons, 4 generations. And Job died, an old man full of days. See, I want us to understand something. Right now, you might be going through something, but you're not in your latter days. See, the latter days are supposed to be better than your former days. But in between the former and the latter is the valley. And the valley of frustration will oftentimes destroy us. But it's the fear of God that God is concerned about, not the frustration of our situation. See, many of us are leaning too much on our frustration and not focusing on the fear. Yeah, they both begin with F, but one is more important than the other. So we have to focus on fearing God and not staying frustrated with our situation. Let us pray. Father God,